Lord, thank you for presenting that. There is nothing, I think, that is more clear of the gospel than taking care of children. So thank you for reading those stories to us. And if you thought your life was bad, those stories make us realize how good we have it in America. So I was asked by Dallas to speak to you today. Is my time wrong? Is it really 11:55? Okay, all right. My wife told me I should pray at 11:55 to close so we can get the kids and everything, because I understand people have things in the oven and kids, they lose their minds and things like that. So I'm not going to take a long time. I did prepare 4.5 pages of notes and a PowerPoint, but no. I think it's important to hear what Laura presented. If we truly are believers in Christ and we're going to follow Him and He's going to be our Lord, we need to act in a way that shows that. And so, giving to children, giving to those in need, sharing what God has given us is important. I'm going to summarize this in about 5 minutes, and maybe I can get what God has brought us today across to you. We're going to be in Acts 19. All right, Acts 19, 11 through 20. And this is one of my favorite passages because it talks a little bit about fighting and about nudity. And you'll think, what? Is this really in the Bible? But yes, it is. And you'll know why in just a second. But in Ephesus, there's this church that Paul planted. Timothy is the pastor of. John is an elder at the church. And Paul is there doing miracles. And so I'm going to read this to you, and then I'm going to summarize what I think God has led me to understand. So Acts 19:11 says, God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and the evil spirits left them. Some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, "In the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out." Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. One day, the evil spirit answered them, "Jesus, I know. I know about Paul, but who are you?" Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them. He overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. When this became known to the Jews and Greeks living in Ephesus, they were all seized with fear, and the name of the Lord was held in high honor. Many of those who believed now came, openly confessed their evil deeds. A number who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. When they calculated the value of the scrolls, the total came to 50,000 drachmas. Today, that would be about $7 million. This is the way the word of the Lord spread widely. In this way, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. So God was doing miracles, not Paul, but God. And God can use anybody. He can use you to change the life of a child in a country halfway around the world. But these people, these Jews, these seven sons of Sceva, who were men, they were traveling around, they were casting out demons. They were doing amazing things. I've never cast out a demon, nor have I seen a demon-possessed person. But they were doing amazing things. And they heard what Paul was doing, or what God was doing through Paul, and they thought, well, if I can just borrow some of that, maybe I can do something else. And so they came to this demon-possessed man using the name of Jesus, but they didn't know who Jesus was. They knew who he was, but they didn't really know him. They didn't know him in their hearts. And it changed their life. The demon, did you realize that demons throughout the New Testament are the most theologically accurate beings of anybody? Every time they encountered Jesus, the demons knew who he was, what he was going to do, where he was from, and who would win in the end. They knew it. They knew it, but they didn't know it. And there's a difference. It's important to know who God is, but you can know, but if you don't know him, so if there's any one thing I would say about this, to keep our time short, if you're going to, if you haven't asked Jesus into your heart, if you haven't made him Lord of your life, if you haven't asked him to be your Lord and Savior, then you might be like the seven sons of Sceva. You might be going around doing amazing things, performing miracles. It says, let's find if I can see it here. It says in Matthew 7:21-22, it says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not drive out demons and perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" See, you can know him, but if you don't know him, then it's completely different. So if you've never surrendered your life, you may not have done this. You may think, well, I've never surrendered my life, and my life's going kind of okay. You're like, I'm getting by. Do you realize that this may be God's wrath against you? Romans 1:24 says, "Therefore God gave them over to the sinful desires of their heart." But if you come to the point where you realize that you, being the Lord over your own life, isn't working, that's God's grace and mercy. That if you realize that you need a Savior and you're not him, if you try to take on the troubles of this world with just some tips and some tricks that you borrow from church or from other Christians, then you're going to wind up like those guys did. You're going to wind up mastered and beaten and wounded. But there's an alternative. You can know him. You can be a friend of Jesus. You can be in a relationship with him. John 15:4 says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Abide is simply a relationship term. It means to stay close. So how do you stay close? The church at Ephesus, as you read, they did five things. The first thing they did is they came together. That's synonymous with discipleship. Like in Sunday school. It's a time to share. Do you have someone in your life that you can be authentic with? That you can share your struggles? You can say, "Hey, I messed up. I'm struggling with this. Can you help me?" It's okay to not be okay, but it's not okay to stay there. Secondly, they worship Jesus. Like we did today. And worshiping in word and in song, that's supposed to stir up something in our hearts, an affection for the Lord. And if you do that, and you realize, that he died for you. He died for you, a wretched, black-hearted sinner. But he died for you. Not a future version of you, but you right now, as you are. So they worshiped Jesus, they came together, they confessed, and they repented. You have to have someone in your life, a group of people that you can come to and be authentic with. And there may be churches out there that you've been around, that you've seen. And if you say something that you've done or you think, they shun you. They push you aside. And they say, "No, you're not like us. You have this problem. You need to go over there." That is so foreign to the gospel. They confessed and they repented. Repent means to turn away. When we as a body of believers come together and there's someone struggling, there's someone hurting, there's someone with something in their life that they need help with, we need to bring them into the middle of the herd, all right? If you ever watch the Animal Planet and you see the lions hunting the gazelles, you'll see that it's real clear who the lion's going to pick off. It's not the one in the middle of the herd. It's the one by themselves. And it doesn't end well for the gazelle. It says in 1 Peter 5:8, "Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." That's some strong imagery. Confess and repent. Because you cannot domesticate the sin in your life. Fourthly, the church at Ephesus, they gave sacrificially. I don't know of the mature Christian that I want to be like that's not a generous giver. And it wasn't good enough for them to just take that idol, those scrolls that they burned, and just put it on the shelf, because it cost them some money. It cost them that city $7 million to have these things, and they got rid of it. So if this is the thing in your life that's leading you to sin, then throw it in the ocean. That's what they did. They burned it. And I'm not promoting book burning, but you have to get rid of those idols in your life. And if it's money, Matthew 6:24 says, "No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other." You cannot serve both God and money. That's why we don't give, we bring. God has given us everything we have. And he didn't give it to you for you. If that's what we think, then we don't truly know God. It says in John 3:16, "God so loved the world that he gave." He didn't love the world to keep. So give. So they gave sacrificially. And fifthly, they were rooted in the Word. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be renewed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." So we have to take off some of this old stuff and put on some new. Ephesians 6 describes the armor of God, and the only offensive weapon in the entire armor was the Word of God. So if you want to abide in Jesus, if you want to know him like a friend, you got to memorize Scripture. And if you struggle with sin, you need to find somebody that you can confess that sin to, that'll pray for you. This needs to be an environment where we welcome those who are struggling. And I think it is, but we need to be reminded of that. So in Ephesus, they were abiding in Jesus. They worshiped. They came together in fellowship. They confessed and repented. They gave sacrificially. And they were rooted in the Word. And they didn't do this to earn something or to manufacture a relationship with Jesus. They did it to stay close to the one who could produce that full life. Are we doing these things? If you've never surrendered your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, then today is the day of salvation. I invite you to come and to be welcomed into the herd. In just a minute, Miss Tammy's going to play, and we're going to sing together. We're going to extol the name of Jesus. We're going to stir up our affections for Him. And so I want to encourage you to come. If you want to pray, if you need to confess sin, if you need to invite the Lord into your heart and say, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to make you the Lord of my life because I don't have what it takes. And I know your life is messed up. My life is messed up. You know how I know? The cross. The cross is the evidence that we didn't have what it took. And what it took was Jesus dying for our sins. That's how messed up we are. It's okay to not be okay, but it's not okay to stay there. So I encourage you to come, to pray, to do the things that it says in Scripture that they did to abide in Jesus. So in just a moment, I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to sing, and I invite you to come. Whatever it is. If you need somebody to pray with, we have people to pray with you. Let's bow our heads. Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for the work that you have done in this church and in the lives of these members. God, I thank you for those children, those 14 children that we read their names individually. God, I know there's people hurting in this world. I know that we're struggling, but I know that you love us. You love us so much that you gave your Son to die for us so that we could have a life with you. And God, as we sing, I just pray that our hearts are moved and that we will draw closer to you, abide in you, and that through that relationship, you will produce the fruit in our lives so that others could see how good and great you are. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen.